following has been pre-recorded for your listening and dancing pleasure.
This Doug and Danny podcast brought to you by Cunningham's Journal. Cunningham's Journal, the only bar you need to know in Kearney.
No more luxury boxes or season tickets for clients. Your accountant said you're about to meet some costly new taxes, but that doesn't mean you have to downsize. Thousands of smart business owners have found a great way to protect the bottom line. They've moved to a nearby, prestigious Regis office. Fully furnished, wired Regis office can be ready when you need it. It includes a receptionist, access to meeting rooms, state-of-the-art video conferencing, all with no long-term lease. Mention Cowherd when you call and get 2 months free. Call 1-800-OFFICES. 1-800-OFFICES.
At Hanes, we know you hate annoying things. That's why we got rid of tags on all our T-shirts and underwear. Now we have some things in the sports world we'd like to get rid of. They include television timeouts in basketball, bad calls, all of them. When every basketball season ends, did I mention bad calls? Being blocked on the Jumbotron by the person with big hair in front of you. Tags are annoying, so we got rid of them. And now we have our sights on annoying sports things, Hanes.
You're tuned in to the Doug and Daddy Show on Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation. You can join the show by calling the Bruce Furniture fan line, emailing the Dent Popper inbox, by sending us a tweet or a Facebook message. The show that brings you guests that offer the best insight from the top professionals in sports.
Stu Pospisil, Omaha World Herald. Brian Rosenthal, beat writer for the Lincoln Journal Star. From ESPN, ESPN.com, Adam Rittenberg, Steve Sippel, the Lincoln Journal Star. Mike Babcock of Huskers Illustrated, Sean Callahan of HuskerOnline.com.
As well as the top athletes and coaches in sports.
Tim Miles in his initial visit to the Doug and Daddy Show. U.S. Olympian Tervell Delagnev, Doug O'Neill, winning trainer of All Have Another.
Who'll be on the show today? Let's find out by heading to the Midway Auto Dealership broadcast booth for the Doug and Daddy Show.
Welcome to the Doug and Daddy Show here on Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation. Glad to have you along with us on this Monday. Spring football is in the books, as early as it's ever been in the books for the Nebraska Cornhuskers. We'll talk about that with Sean Callahan of Husker Online. We'll catch up with Zach Stirrup from Hastings. He is looking to get some serious time on the offensive line for the Big Red. We'll talk with him about that and his punt catching skills. They threw in a few unique things for the red-white game, maybe a little bit for television, maybe a little bit for the fans, just to kind of mix it up a little bit. So we'll talk with those folks. Of course, we've also got the NCAA championship games tonight for the men, women tomorrow, and we'll take a look at our leaderboard for the Doug and Daddy Bracket Challenge. It's down to two people that have a chance to win the Bracket Challenge and the 50-inch HD TV from Russell's Appliance. And, of course, and we've got many other great gifts that we're going to be giving out to top finishers as well. Doug Duda, Jim Langan with you on the Doug and Daddy Show. What do you think?
I think the leading rusher in the spring game, that kid, the 7-year-old, was a tremendous thing that happened for the University of Nebraska. I thought it was very inventive. And I thought it was a heck of a play. And I saw in the results, they had him down as the leading rusher.
Yeah, they did the whole, they made it all official for Jack Hoffman, and he's been all over the place today. He has been on SportsCenter over the weekend. He has been on Good Morning America today. He has been on a variety of talk shows and getting a lot of pub. And he's also right now leading the SportsCenter play of the day. We know it's been that Jadeveon Clowney, Michigan-South Carolina hit from January 1st, and I think it was the Outback Bowl. That has been the number one play ever since then. And Jack Hoffman's play is going up against him, and it's actually leading. And we have that on our website. You can vote at ESPNSuperstation.com. Just in case you can't track it down on the main ESPN page, we do have it on ESPNSuperstation.com. So you can vote for Jack and make it the number one play of the weekend. So that'd be pretty cool, too. But the whole thing was cool. Jimmy, just being there, when you're in the press box, you got the sometimes it can be stuffy. Sometimes it can be, you know, it's just that, oh, yeah, we've seen this before. But that was one of those things that even the guys in the press box were impressed. And, you know, one of those things, I guess, that gets to you a little bit because it was pretty cool. Had his little plastic helmet on. The guys go, where'd he get the helmet? I said, that's the standard helmet that comes with the Husker $29.99, $30.99 package you get. You know, you get the pants, you get the shoulder pads, and then you get the plastic helmet. That's what you get for your kids or your nephew. So he had the plastic Nebraska helmet.
Yeah, and what a nice setting to have it done at, too. You know, I mean, I'm sure that a lot of high school practices in the state of Nebraska, there's been a lot of high school coaches that have had a kid that they've done it during a practice, you know what I mean, where they brought out somebody to do that. And so it's the idea is not unique, but the idea that it was very unique because it was done in a setting like that.
And again, a lot of folks, I'm sure you're if you weren't there, I don't know how much you listen to the spring game or watch it on the Big Ten Network. It's kind of on in the background. But here's that little segment, Greg Sharp, Matt Davison from the Husker Sports Network.
It is Jack Hoffman of Team Jack coming out on the field right now in this fourth down and short.
For the red team,
Jack Hoffman, who's been adopted really by this football team, a young man who has battled brain cancer, is on the field right now for the Huskers.
One more snap for Taylor Martinez, too, who will hand it off to Jack.
So Taylor gets the shotgun set, gives it to Jack. Here he goes. He's got blockers out in front.
There he goes.
Jack is running to midfield. Listen to this crowd as Jack Hoffman, a young man that, as I mentioned, has really been adopted by this football team, just scored a touchdown.
Oh, wow. What a moment.
And both benches empty.
That was a moment right there. Wow, goosebumps.
From the Husker Sports Network, the run that Jack Hoffman had. And again, it's awesome. That's what he keeps saying in all his interviews.
Yeah, he said it was awesome.
I mean, he just turned 70. He's just a little guy.
Yeah, they ask him a couple, three questions. That's awesome. This is awesome. That's awesome. You know, yeah, he's going to have to work on his vocabulary a little bit because he's going to get interviewed a few more times.
Yeah, I hope so. And again, you just hope that all ends up well for Jack and the Hoffman family. But that ends up being the story of the spring game, and we'll be chatted about here. But everyone, again, they're gonna ask, well, what'd you think of this? And I've already run into this a little bit. Well, what'd you think of the spring game? What'd you think of that? I'm gonna be honest. I've been very honest with this part of this show, and this has been my part of the show where I sometimes feel a little bit guilty because I don't get double feet jump into the pool of Husker fourth string left guards. I watched the game. There's some new names. And as Bo Pelini said, a lot of new kids playing with a lot of different kids. The stock I put into all of this is very minimal. And I know that that is kind of 50-50. I think there's a lot of Husker psycho fans out there that really get into this. And by psycho, that's fine. I mean, they are really into this. They love to see who's coming up. They love to see who's being recruited. They want to know who the backup tight end is. They want to know how the new kids look. And I'm going to be frank with you, after all these years, I just don't care. I mean, I don't get that wrapped up in it. I'm going to say, you know, Tommy Armstrong, he's your backup quarterback right now. He looked okay. He looked okay. Ron Kellogg, he's a fifth-year senior. He looked okay. Should I be fired up that a fifth-year senior is your third-string quarterback? No. The new guys, again, some of these guys you've seen in practice and all of a sudden they end up transferring or you never see them after the spring game again. I just don't get too hyped up in all of that.
Well, Doug, I know you well enough that you don't have tunnel vision. I mean, you are interested in how Kearney High does, how Kearney Catholic's doing, how Kearney Catholic volleyball does, how Kearney High volleyball. You see the whole state. Overton's had some success. Giltner has some success. I mean, you see this whole state of St. Cecilia when they had that long winning streak. I mean, I could name on Grand Island Northwest success. You know, there's been some schools out there, a lot of schools have had some success up and down. And you have an interest in that. You have an interest in a lot of other college football teams that are having some success. You know, I think you're the type of guy, when you're watching Ball State play Nebraska, and Ball State's trying a 47-yard field goal in Lincoln to try to upset them, that you understand what that might do for their program. And what it really is not going to do so much for Nebraska. But you'll have that diehard Husker fan that goes wild when that guy misses that field goal.
Oh.
And, you know, it's hard for me to go wild when Ball – now, if Texas misses a field goal, I'm happy as heck. You know what I mean? But when Ball State misses it, there's just something about, hey, what about the effort and what the preparation they put into that game, you know, to come into Lincoln and be undermanned and to compete at that level and then to almost pull off a huge upset in Lincoln, Nebraska. You know, and Austin Peay did that to Michigan. Do you think the Nebraska people were from Michigan down the stretch? I mean, you know, let's be honest about that. When there's that certain time where you're looking at the whole picture, and I think that's what you do. I mean, you're a big Nebraska fan. You want Nebraska to win. Yeah. Let's, of all the teams in the nation, but I don't think you're so turned on to it that you don't realize that, hey, you know, the spring game's probably kind of interesting, but the Final Four is going on too today. The Masters is starting in 4 days. Hey, the Kentucky Derby's a month away. You know, you see a lot of other things, and you have a lot of interest. Yes.
That's why we have Sean Callahan, Robin Washit, Steve Sippel, Brian Munson. That's where their vision is. Yes, they will dabble in other things when it's not football season, and that's only like 2 months a year in the state of Nebraska, but that's why we have them on to give you that. I will say I think when we come back, we've talked about this for forever since we've been going to Big 12 / now Big 10 media days. That's where we kind of get our sense of where the Nebraska team is and can start making some predictions. I had a feeling go through me watching that game on Saturday, and I don't think Nebraska fans want to hear it. So I don't want to be discussing from April the 8th all the way to August the 31st where Nebraska football might be. I mean, we're coming off a season, and you can describe it however you want. People that love the Huskers, yeah, we came back in all those games. People that hate the Huskers, you got lucky. People like the 2% of Husker fans that is right down the middle, yeah, boy, we caught a couple of breaks, but boy, we earned a couple as well. I mean, I think it'll be interesting what this team does, but that's what the state's about, and I think it could be another fun year for Husker football.
Doug, it's, you know, and again, it's not all about winning or losing, and unfortunately, that's what a lot of people think.
No, yeah.
Sometimes it's about having a 7-year-old fighting cancer, going 67 yards for a touchdown in a nice setting that, you know, only the Husker coaches and players can control.
Yeah, and Nebraska's got a chance with 8 home games and a favorable schedule and all that. So Bo Pelini's been pretty loose this whole spring. This is the one time before about the second week of spring ball where he said, we looked horrendous and looked like the defense had never played ball before, and paraphrasing here, things like that. So, but he was very complimentary and kind of liked everything that went. Not only did they have the Jack Hoffman, but if you watched on the Big Ten Network, and I wasn't going to argue with any of the folks in the press box, but he comes running out. There's a young lady, young gal. I don't know how old she was. She looked like she might have been 13, 12, somewhere in that age. And she comes running out on the field, and she's hanging out with Coach the whole time. And everybody's going, well, that's her daughter. That's his daughter. That's his daughter. I said, man, that doesn't look like the daughter or the kid that I saw last fall that runs out onto the field and with the family and gives him hugs. I said, whatever. But somebody asked to shadow. You know how that works.
There's, sure,
anybody around here knows what a job shadow is. You got a high school kid, junior high kid, that wants to shadow your program. And so he lets this young lady be his shadow on spring day, brings her to the press conference and goes, this is, I think it's Alexa Beckman, I believe was her name, and she's going to take your questions, and then he just stepped away.
Is that right?
Kind of freaked her out a little bit, but everybody had some fun with that as well. So Bo definitely made, and that was away from the Big Ten television camera, so it wasn't just a, you know, if you want
for
to
for show or whatever.
Yeah, exactly. So I think pretty loose this week.
Well, you know, Doug, one thing about coaching, and I think sometimes we miss this aspect about this, is that, you know, a player has to do about 10 or 12 things really well in his position. And if he does 2 things really poorly, and you dwell on him and keep talking about him and keep talking about him and tell him how bad and you can't get over those 2 things he's not very good at, and you keep telling him and telling him, you know, Saturday he's not ready to play that well. But if you can build up those 10 things out of those 12 that he does really well, and use those things. Hey, you know, you kind of want to play for that guy. And the guys that can do that, you know, and say, hey, you know, hey, you're good at this, you're good at this, you're good at this, and we're proud of it, and you get out there and do this, and hey, maybe don't do this play. Because, in fact, when we have this play, we're going to pull you out and put somebody else in for that play. You know, but basically, you know, that's what you're looking at. And, of course, you know, you can see with the Rutgers practice, that guy had a little trouble finding out the good things those guys were doing.
Well, and I'll tell you what, that something like, and that's another reason that the Jack Hoffman story is getting a lot, because they talked about it nationally Friday, how, you know what, it's been a blech week. Just a lot of Rutgers, Auburn, and there was six or seven things that had taken up most of the week. It wasn't the Final Four. It wasn't baseball. It wasn't, you know, spring football. It was talking about that kind of crud. And even the national folks on their tweets and on their accounts mentioning that over the weekend. Jim Langan, Doug Duda with you here on the Doug and Daddy Show. Coming up, Sean Callahan, a Husker Online. We'll hear from Zach Stirrup. We'll talk about the NCAA basketball championship game tonight. Somebody you know is going to have a very key part in that championship game tonight.
Yes, he is. John Higgins from Omaha is going to ref his that's his first final. He's done, I think, three of the the Final Fours, but the semifinals. And he benched one time. He was the bench official for the whole thing. But, boy, this will be him. I hope he's healthy and things are going to go well for him tonight.
That would be great. Maybe it won't be close and we won't have to worry about it. We'll get our predictions on that ball game tonight as well. We'll take time out here from the Midway Auto Dealership broadcast booth and be back with more of the Doug and Daddy Show after this.
Come on in, let the games begin.
NFL coaches call the plays right to the quarterback's helmet, just as a great sports bar like HK Sports Bar and Grill sends you the signals right to your smartphone when you text HKVIP to 90210. Hi, this is Jeremy, the new general manager at HK Sports Bar and Grill of Hastings. We're adding more feature items and bonus alerts every week, so text HKVIP to 90210. I guarantee you'll score a deal as an HKVIP. Text HKVIP to 90210 and let the games begin.
A pleather jacket for $600? That's what you call a bad synthetic deal. If you're looking for a great synthetic deal, just head over to Napa. They've got 5 quarts of Napa synthetic motor oil, plus a Napa silver oil filter for just $19.99. It's a great deal for synthetic motor oil, and that's the best kind of oil you can buy. So hurry over to Napa this month. Pick up the $19.99 synthetic oil chain special. But don't let the name fool you. It's a real deal at participating Napa Auto Parts stores. Sale price does not include applicable state and local taxes or recycling fees. Offer expires 4/30/13.
How do you deliver high-quality printing for your company at greater speed and lower cost? Let's ask basketball legend Charles Barkley.
Speed is the key. Making the transition from defense to offense is what separates winners from losers.
So what you're saying is we should call CDW and have them hook us up with the new HP OfficeJet Pro X printers, the world's fastest desktop inkjet printer.
I like the way I said it better.
CDW, people who get it. Find out more at cdw.com/Barkley.
Take us on the run, baby. Download the Android app from the Google Play Store and get connected with Central Nebraska's ESPN Superstation. No more post-sunset or pre-sunrise fade. We're loud and digitally clear. Log into the Google Play Store. Type in ESPN Superstation to find and download to your mobile. ESPN Superstation on your iPhone, too.
We'll see some breaks of sunshine developing today with a slight chance for a shower. Storm developing late and then into tonight with a high at 72. Winds turn to the southeast. We'll then see some shower and storm activity tonight. A few storms may turn severe with a low at 37. Right now it's 50.
Doug and Daddy Show, Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation. Doug Duda, Jim Langan with you. The one shining moment tonight after it's all done. Watched a lot of the basketball tournament. I do want to talk before we get to Sean Callahan, who's going to join us here momentarily. And I know, Jimmy, you were doing the Danger game, so you probably got to see minimal amount of the Final Four on Saturday.
Saw none of it, actually. Yeah. Really saw none of it. Listen, early in the on the radio, listened to a little bit of the first game on the radio. But
one point I want to bring out, and a lot of people go, oh yeah. And I never, and again, a point I picked up on that I just didn't hear them talk about on the radio or the TV broadcast in that Louisville-Wichita State game where the jump ball is called after the free throw. Louisville misses. Wichita State would have had the ball, three-point game with 6 seconds to go. Wichita State got the rebound, and as he turned out of there, it wasn't a clean rebound. It didn't go to the inside guy. It went to the, you know, the next Wichita State guy. He turned. They call a jump ball. That's questionable whether it was a jump ball or not, but the arrow points Louisville's way. With 6 seconds, they got the ball in a three-point lead, and they end up finishing it up, and congratulations there. But a few minutes before that, it was right going into that the four-minute media timeout. They had called a foul, and when they came back, they said it was a double foul. Wichita State kid hooks the Louisville kid. The Louisville kid, he's just doing everything he can to shake him off and push him to the ground, and he smacks the Wichita State kid in the face twice in like 2 seconds during this exchange, and one of them was a get off of me push in the face. Why was that not called the famous flagrant one that we've been bitching about the postseason tournament? Not just the NCAA, but the conference tournaments. They always go to those monitors and they look that over. Somebody blatantly missed that opportunity. And the reason I'm not even, that's the big point out of that whole deal was, is because it was not called, it was a double foul, Jimmy. And you know what happens on a double foul? Possession goes, alternating possession.
Well, if somebody had possession, they would keep possession on a double foul.
They changed possession. That's all I know.
Okay.
They gave the ball to Wichita State, and there shouldn't have been a possession change. Yeah. It should have been Wichita State ball, Louisville flagrant one foul, free throw, Wichita State ball, and then when we get that jump ball with 7 seconds to go, it still would have been Wichita State ball on the alternating possession, and I haven't heard anybody talk about it. It's just like, I'm just guaranteeing you, if that would have been a Wichita State kid shoving a Louisville kid, we would still be looking at the monitor.
Now, I did not see this. If the ball's loose on the floor, I mean, if there's been a rebound and it's loose and you've got a double foul situation, then you'd go to the possession arrow. But if the offense gets to keep it, I mean, for instance, if
they went, they to the went possession.
Like I said, I did not see the play. So, yeah. So if they did that, that's
Let's
a tough call.
Let's recreate it, Jeff. You're all
No, no. Whoa. You two guys, not again. I'm always breaking up fights between you two. I was just going to say, if it did happen the way you said it did, then that is a tough call. And you know, as an official, you're still aware. You go, boy, I'll tell you what, I know which way the possession arrow's going. Now, good officials, I mean, if you don't know which way the possession arrow's going, if you don't know, I mean, I've always been amazed when I ref with guys and they go over and go, oh, that's that guy's fifth foul. You didn't know that was his fifth foul? Because I knew when he had his third. You know what I mean? I mean, I know.
The kid that averages 18 and 9, you didn't know he had four?
Yeah, I'm aware. And, you know, I mean, and I've heard people say, well, you should never know the score of the game when you're refing. Oh, is that really makes it good, doesn't it? You know, I kind of know the score and who's ahead.
It might make a difference whether his toe's on the line or not.
Yeah.
If it's 72-40, I don't care if his toe's on the line. If it's 72-70, I care if his toe's on the line.
Yeah, but 72-40 and his toe's on the line, it's a three.
Yeah,
that's exactly right. Yeah.
Doug Duda, Jim Lange with you here on the Doug and Daddy Show in the Midway Auto Dealership broadcast booth. And Sean Callahan of Husker Online joins us on today's program to recap all that has happened in the Husker spring, the spring game, and, you know, a little basketball as well. That was kind of the main concern Saturday, Sean, from everybody, is we need to get this press conference over because we got basketball to watch.
Yeah, it would have been nice if the game started at noon. I think we would have all been done hopefully by about 5, maybe 6. But I was able to kind of watch the entire first game from my chair while he worked up there, then got home for tip-off of the second game. So it worked out all right. I got to see Wichita State pull ahead, but you just kind of knew that Louisville was going to make that run, and they were just too good of a team to go down like that, and Rick Pitino was too good of a coach to not pull something out of his hat there, and he did at the end of the game.
Well, let's talk football, and we can get to any other subjects if we want to when we're done with that. As I said, I don't follow this as close as you because it is your job. You, Sip, Robin, we can name off 20 of these guys that cover Husker football on a daily basis. Your takeaway from Saturday's spring game when it comes to the actual football was what?
Well, I mean, it's hard to tell when the teams are divided up like that. You're not going number one unit together, number two unit together. You're kind of doing a half number one with a half number two on everything. And so I almost look at the scrimmage last Saturday, the one that I got to watch in Memorial Stadium, as really a true indicator. They went 115 plays, ones versus ones, twos versus twos. And, you know, Tommy Armstrong was 10 of 19 throwing the football that day against the number one defense. The number one defense did make some improvements. But I still think this football team overall, we won't know much about this team until the rest of the newcomers arrive on campus on defense. There's six defensive linemen and two more linebackers coming and three safeties. And I think all those guys, you're going to see a handful of them play next year and be in the mix. And right now I think the defensive front for Nebraska, in my opinion, still remains a question going into the season because we didn't see enough this spring to really say, all right, they've got the depth back on the D-line, because by no means they have depth right now, and we kind of need to see more from these guys and how the newcomers mesh in there with the rest of the players that are already here.
Yeah, this is Jim Langan here, and I got a question for you. Do you see anybody on the defensive team that is absolutely a dominating type player? Somebody on that defensive team that you're going, whoa, this is somebody we can work everybody around. You know, we're going to work the team around this guy. I mean, Sue definitely would have been that guy. Rich Glover back in the 70s, you know. I mean, there's some guys that we've had, but do you see anybody?
You know, there's probably four guys that stand out as the main players on the defense. Siante Evans and Josh Mitchell at corner, and Jason Anker on the D-line. And then I would throw probably Zaire Anderson in that mix at linebacker. I don't know if I see a first-rounder, though. I mean, that's a big stretch. And that's where Bo's defenses have been really good, when he's had those first-rounders, NFL-caliber players like Sue or Jared Crick or Levante David or Dennard. Those four guys, though, are the ones that jump out to me. Vincent Valentine, I think, had an up-and-down spring. They're excited about him. I think he has potential. Aaron Curry has a lot of potential. I'm excited about Greg McMullen at defensive end. I just still think, before you put them in that category, they need some action with live bullets. I mean, they just, a lot of these guys haven't seen that much live action in the games, because the roster was so senior-centric last year with 28 or 29 seniors that it was just such a mass overhaul on this defense, where all these veterans that played many, many games are gone, and now you're playing a lot of guys that haven't played very many games. And until we see them play, it's really hard to throw out that kind of label on anybody right now.
If there is a strength of the defense, what would it be?
The secondary. I think the corner position is really strong, really strong. I mean, I think it has a potential to be, I don't want to say it's going to be as good as Prince and Dennard that year, because that was as good as we've ever seen at Nebraska, in my opinion. But I think it's going to be one of the better secondaries potentially in the Big Ten when you look at all the guys they have. I mean, Andrew Green didn't go through spring ball, but you have Siante Evans, you have Josh Mitchell, you have Stanley Baptiste, then you have Jonathan Rose, a former Army All-American transfer from Auburn, Mohamed Cisse, a four-star that got hurt a year ago that really came on this spring. In the safety spots, those guys improved a lot too. So that would probably be the strength. And I think the speed of the linebackers is a strength, but these guys need to know the plays too and get comfortable in the system so they can utilize that speed better in the game situations.
You know, that's good to know about the secondary, though, because it seems to me when you try to win a national championship type game, you want your secondary to be good, and you can always maybe find people that can stop the run. I mean, it's, when I'm saying that, doesn't mean it's always going to happen, but there are guys that you can fit in there and you can cheat, you know what I mean, with that extra player to stop the run, is what I'm trying to say. Is, you know, you can, hey, instead of playing with four guys, you can bring five guys in if you need to.
Right, and you know, the concern still would be maybe breakdowns. I mean, we saw a couple of safety breakdowns on those tight end plays Saturday. If you're going to bring that, blitz package up front, that's one less guy or two less guys you're going to have back in coverage, and that means everybody's got to make their right assignments and reads, and that might be the one thing that still needs to get shored up, but the depth is there. I still think they need a defensive line, because when Bo's defense has been at its best, they don't have to blitz. They can bring a four-man pass rush and have seven in coverage. And when you have seven in coverage, every single player is basically double covered. The two safeties are sitting back there high. Nothing's going to get over the top of their head. You thought that would happen in the bowl game, but several balls got over the top of the two safeties in that bowl game against Georgia in the Capital One Bowl. But, you know, ideally, when you have two safeties high and seven men in coverage, that's what Bo really likes to do if, you know, his defensive line is good enough to get a pass rush on a quarterback.
Georgia went over the top? Really? What? God, yeah, thank God that was so long ago.
As many balls over the top of as I can ever remember seeing in a Nebraska game, to be honest.
But they also threw an 87 yards, 3 yard slant in, too. But you're right. Hey, that is a good point about the defensive front, because when Nebraska had its best defenses, they were able to stop the run basically sometimes with three people. You know what I mean? And then they could do a lot of other things. You know, when I just look at their schedule, though, if they can get better towards the end of the season. I mean, taking the UCLA game at home and saying that the crowd and we're going to be able to win that game, that UCLA game, you know, our schedule's nice for us to have time to get better.
Exactly. I mean, you have a five-game homestand. You're going to be home for 6 weeks in a row with the bye week in there to really kind of get the crowd behind the team and the confidence. I mean, 91,000 people, five home games in a row. You would hope that defense will get better, play with more emotion, and the crowd could really get behind them. And that UCLA game, though, will be the big test, because we know they're going to have a hell of an offense coming into Memorial Stadium. UCLA might be the best offense Nebraska sees in the season, because they don't see Ohio State in the regular season right now. And, you know, you look at the teams in the Legends division, there really isn't an elite offense coming back. I don't consider Michigan's offense an elite offense by any stretch of the means. So that will be a really big test early on, because they may not see another offense that good until maybe the Big Ten title game if they make it there to play Ohio State.
I agree with you about that Michigan. That's a good point about Michigan. They are not going to be as good on offense. They're not going to be throwing 45 points on people. I agree with you totally on that.
Well, especially.
Well, and I think last year that quarterback that came in, Devin Gardner, I don't think people had a great scouting report on him. By game 8-9 of the season, or week 8-9, Nebraska's going to have a great scouting report on him and what he does. I don't think he's going to surprise people like he did towards the end of the year, when there was absolutely zero tape on Devin Gardner when he came into those games and had a lot of success during the late part of the year.
Michigan pretty banged up right now as well, so we'll see how that all plays out. Sean Callahan with us here on the Doug and Daddy Show. Doug Duda, Jim Langan with you on this Monday, talking a little bit about the spring game. We're going to hear, I chatted with Zach Stirrup after the spring game. He looked, to some people, maybe out of place on that offensive line, but as you mentioned, first, second, he's just making that next step. What do you think of where Zach's at right now? We got a bunch of kids from Central Nebraska, but not a bunch that I expect to see playing time this next year. And Zach and Rodriguez and maybe Fultz would be a couple of them.
Yeah, I think the tackle position where Zach's at, you have to look at Searles as a for sure starter, and then Qualley and Rodriguez will play in there. Then they bring in Matt Finnan, the junior college player. I mean, I think all four of those guys will be kind of ahead of Zach right now, so I don't know how much we'll see him play at tackle with the other names I mentioned. I do think Sam Fultz, though, still has a great chance to be the starting punter. He kind of shanked one on Saturday, but it still went about 50 yards on a shank off the side of his foot. I mean, I thought he did pretty well. I know he had a good spring. I've even talked to Jake Wesch about Sam, and they're really impressed. He still plays receiver for Nebraska, though. And, you know, the reason why is he runs a 4.440. He ran a 4.4 at Huskers camp a couple years ago, and he's too good of an athlete. I think Andrew Rodriguez will play a lot this year, too. You know, it's just going to be a matter of can he win that starting job over Searles or Qualley, or will they rotate those guys in with Matt Finnan and kind of have four pretty good tackles. It's a deep offensive line. I really think it is a very deep offensive line.
With the offense, Taylor Martinez, of course, you know, couldn't think of a better player to have coming back with this offense to get things rolling. who is going to help him? Who is going to be the one or the two best players that's going to help him make this offense so that if we do have to get into a scoring battle with somebody, we can still win this game? You know, I'm not so concerned about the 45 we gave up to Georgia as much as, you know, the Wisconsin game where we gave up just a ton, or the Ohio State a ton. But if we got to get into a scoring battle like that 36-30 UCLA game last year, who's going to be the player that's going to come up and step up and help him?
Well, I think Kenny Bell and Anunua and Turner, all three of the receivers. I felt like even in the Georgia game, they got beat. They had something going there in that game. And the tempo of the offense, when they run it to that pace, those SEC teams had a hard time with that because no one can really effectively run it like that in that league other than A&M. And I think that it's only going to get better for Nebraska this year. And you've seen this offense grow in baby steps. I still go back to year one of this Tim Beck system, you know, when they just got – you saw the flashes against Michigan State. They moved the ball down the field with those two third-quarter drives against the best defense in the league, and Michigan State's players were on their hands and knees faking injuries. Michigan did the same thing, and I thought you saw it grow even more, and I think this year you'll see Martinez and guys like Bell and Anunua and Turner even go another notch, where I think Martinez is so comfortable with his offense, he spouts it out like a foreign language and knows it inside and out, where he doesn't even need to probably look over at the sidelines all that much. He probably knows what Tim Beck wants to call right now, as do these receivers, and they can just get up to the line. And if they see that certain read that he wants to go with, he'll just snap the ball. And if the defense is not ready, so be it. They're going to take advantage of it. And I thought you saw them do that a lot at the end of the year, and this is going to be this year it's going to, I think, this offense could be statistically as good as Nebraska's had in a while.
Just a couple questions left here for Sean Callahan, Husker Online. One of the names, King Frazier. Maybe it's just because his name is King. But where do you see – these guys aren't going to see, I don't think, a whole lot of playing time when you've got Amir Abdullah and Amani Cross. But where are you seeing any more playing time from third string or third back on down?
You know, I think of the other running backs in the game on Saturday, obviously Amani is he's going to play and be in the mix. But King will be there. But you got to look at the two guys coming in. You know, Adam Taylor and Terrell Newby. That's as good of a group of running backs as Nebraska's brought in a number of years. You're talking about the California High School Player of the Year and the top player on the team that won state in Texas 5A ball. They scored a combined 90 touchdowns at the highest level of high school competition in the country. These two guys, I think, are going to put themselves on the field. And, you know, for King Frazier, it's going to be very difficult, I think, to beat those guys out, you know, to win in the long run, because you're talking about two very, very explosive, big-time football players.
Just got thrown off track as they showed Chris Weber calling a timeout here on SportsCenter. But what about the visitors, Sean? There's plenty of stuff up, folks, on Husker Online about the weekend. What about the visitors?
You know, No commitments came out of the weekend, but I thought overall it was a really good turnout of recruits, you know, in terms of guys that were there. You know, a lot of guys, Nebraska hasn't offered as many guys in the region as you would think, but, you know, some of these guys I think are going to get offers. You know, there was a tight end, a four-star tight end that showed up out of Kansas that Nebraska hasn't offered yet, and I think there's still a pretty good chance that Nebraska will offer him, and I know he was really, really impressed with the trip. Billy Hirschfield from Wisconsin was here for the weekend. Monte Harrison, a top receiver out of Kansas City, who I think Nebraska sits very well with. But the tight end was DeAndre Goolsby. He made his first trip up here as a four-star tight end. So they had a very good turnout. A kid from Wyoming showed up that might be the best football player to come out of Wyoming in 10 years. Tavon Bryan, who's a 6'5", 250-pound kind of an athlete. He can play O-line, D-line. I think those are the type of guys that I would like to have in a program, a 6'5", 250, flat-stomach guy that's just all muscle, because you can develop that guy into about four positions, an O-lineman, a D-end, a D-tackle, whatever. And I was really impressed with this Wyoming kid, Tavon Bryan, who already has five or six Division I offers, which is very rare for a kid in Wyoming.
Yeah, that's good. Hey, that's good to know. Let's just get him signed. If you could get him signed, let's get him signed right now. So get that done. Hey, question for you, and putting you on the spot here right now. Can Nebraska, with this team, can they be a top 10 team?
I think so. I mean, a lot of it has to depend early on in the year. They have to beat UCLA. If they lose to UCLA and they're 7-1 still going to Michigan, they won't be in the top 10. But I think really the season stems on two games, the Michigan game and the UCLA game. Northwestern will be tough. We know that. Michigan State will be a good team, but those are both at Lincoln. You have to think they can win those two games being played in Lincoln. At Penn State, they're going to lose a lot of guys, a new quarterback. I think they're not going to be quite the same team. They do have most of that offensive line back, which is a great line. But to me, there are two games on the schedule, UCLA and Michigan, and those are the games they have to win if they want to be in the top 10. Right now, I think they kind of fall in that 10 to 20 range, probably like a team that would probably – I would put them at 15 or 16 in the country today. But in order to take that next step up, they've got to win that early game against UCLA and then – prove themselves out in Michigan.
Have you ever been a part of something where the game wasn't the story, Sean? Obviously, they had the fun with the guys catching punts and going through the drills to give a little TV fun. But, I mean, let's face it. I didn't know that we knew it was cool when they brought Jack Hoffman in, and I've seen that at the high school level before. But did you think it was going to go as national and as quick as it did?
I don't think anybody did. I ran into Jack and Andy Hoffman in the morning. We walked into the stadium together about 10 o'clock in the morning on Saturday, and they had no idea what was going to happen that day. It all just kind of played itself together. And, I wrote on Monday, the week of the spring game, that Nebraska needs to take advantage of this opportunity, having the national live broadcast of the game. And, boy, did they ever. The spring game is element. No one cares about the spring game around the country, but they found a way to make people care about it and show interest, and that's really hard to do because you can do all these stunts and gimmicks and tug-of-wars and stuff, but the Jack Hoffman thing was special, and that will be something 20 years from now we'll be talking about still. They'll show that. I mean, if Jack continues his battle through cancer and grows older, we'll still be talking about that play for many, many years. And I really commend Bo Pelini and Jeff Jamrog and C.J. Zimmer and the guys that kind of created this thing, because it's given the program as much publicity as anything in Bo Pelini's time at Nebraska. I mean, this is last night. It was on ABC Nightly News. It was on Good Morning America this morning. It's been all over ESPN. You can't pay for this kind of press exposure, and they just kind of came up with it at the drop of a hat.
It's good stuff. Anything else to add, Sean?
Nebraska will have these next 2 weeks here, and the players will be doing a lot of working out and conditioning here before they go home. They get the whole month of May off. That's one thing they do. Bo lets the players go home for 3 or 4 weeks in May, and then they come back in June for summer workouts. So still some time left. The coaches will go on the road for recruiting starting next week. So it's kind of a down week to kind of wind down, but definitely there will be a lot more work to be done here in Lincoln before that May break.
Louisville or Michigan?
Oh, man. It's hard to pick against Louisville. I'm going to go Louisville, but I'd like to see Michigan win. When they get hot, they're a hard team to beat. And how can you not be a Mitch McGarry fan? That guy just plays his heart out on the court. I love watching Mitch McGarry play.
Tiger Woods or the field?
The field.
Okay.
Hey, Sean, enjoy hopefully a little downtime for you. We'll catch up with you again real soon. As always, thanks for giving us time here on the Doug and Daddy Show.
Hey, thanks, Jim. Thanks, Doug. Good seeing you in Lincoln on Saturday, Doug. Take care.
You bet, buddy. Keep it up. Great work. Husker Online. Check it out, huskeronline.com. Sean Callahan and the entire gang. We're going to take a break here in the Midway Auto Dealership broadcast booth. We'll hear from Zach Stirrup. I chatted with him after the spring game on Saturday, and we'll hear from him. He is another – I can't believe how big he is. I'll tell you what. Here's a kid, Jimmy, that has changed appearance-wise to me in his couple of years down there in Lincoln. If you remember, the kind of the last image you have is him signing his letter of intent, going, playing basketball. He'd shaved his head at St. Cecilia. He's 6'8", probably in high school, and he was a big kid. So let's say he was 6'7", or 6'8", and he was 260 playing basketball, and I might even be short on that, but he's all of 6'9", 310 right now. And if I have to hold the microphone up to talk to somebody, they're tall. And Zach has grown the hair out, long hair. He still has maturing to do. But I remember when he went to the Huskers, everybody was talking how you know, babyface, and once he matured, he was going to be a behemoth, and he is in that process right now.
You know, he's the guy I like to take with me when I go referee, and he can just sit like in row one on the opposite side, and then I'll just point people out. You know, that guy. Go sit by that guy. Yeah. So
What's up? We'll take a break and hear from Zach right after this.
When you need comfort and guidance the most, it's reassuring to know our family at Horner, Liskey, McBride, and Kuehl Funeral and Cremation Services is at hand. With our experience, compassionate care, and trusted facility, we are available to serve your family in any way possible. If you are in need of a helping hand, contact Horner, Liskey, McBride, and Kuehl Funeral and Cremation Services in Kearney at 237-2259, where our family is dedicated to honoring your family for generations.
An elite group of astroscientists shrunk themselves down to study Little Caesar's amazing new deep, deep dish pizza. They are...
Deep Dish Explorers!
Spaceship, this is Ground Control. How would you describe the 8 deliciously crispy caramelized cheese crust corners of the deep, deep dish pizza?
Delicious.
Thank you, Spaceship.
Deep Dish Explorers!
Introducing the Deep Deep Dish Pizza. Hot and ready every day from 4 to 8 p.m. Just $8 for a large, only at Little Caesars.
Pizza, pizza.
Participating locations plus tax.
And now here's traffic.
The streets are jammed. I've never seen anything like it.
Where do you suppose these drivers are going?
It looks like, yes, it's a BP station.
Drivers are excited about new BP driver rewards. When they sign up, they receive an instant 10 cents per gallon reward. With every second fill up, they keep earning and saving 5 cents per gallon. Pick up a BP driver rewards brochure at BP to join now. Up to 20 gallons, terms and conditions apply. See bpdriverrewards.com.
ESPN Radio Superstation 1460 and 1550 Weather Eye Weather is brought to you by Farm Bureau Insurance agents Rich Peters and Matt Myers on North 2nd Avenue in Kearney. Farm Bureau agents Rich Peters and Matt Myers in Kearney, no health insurance. As independent and authorized producers of Blue Cross Blue Shield of Nebraska, independent licensees of the Blue Cross Blue Shield Association, Rich Peters and Matt Myers will work with you to make sure you have health insurance coverage that fits your needs. Their approach is simple. They listen. And will tailor a policy that'll work within your budget. When you need health insurance, just call Rich Peters and Matt Myers, your local Farm Bureau agents. Securities and services offered through FBL Marketing Services, LLC. Affiliate, Farm Bureau Financial Services.
We'll see some breaks of sunshine developing today with a slight chance for a shower. Storm developing late and then into tonight with a high at 72, winds turn to the southeast. We'll then see some shower and storm activity tonight. A few storms may turn severe with a low at 37. Right now it's 50.
She is somebody's hero, a hero to her daughter in the wedding dress. She gave her wings to leave the nest. It hurts to let her baby go down the aisle. She wants
Doug and Daddy Show, Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation. Farmers, now is the time to beat the heat with the best value purchase of a T&L pivot system. Maximize your production in dry conditions with the best water distribution covering your crops and the best reliability for the long haul of an extended heat wave. Call your T&L dealer today or check them out online at TLIRR.com. T&L's proven hydraulic technology. It works, folks. It's easier on you for a lifetime. It helps your crops. It puts more money in your pocketbook. That's what you're doing, busting your butt all year long, is to get the best crop. Well, T&L helps you do that. And, of course, worldwide headquarters in Hastings, home of Zach Stirrup, Jimmy. A lot of good things coming out of Hastings.
Yeah.
I got a chance.
He doesn't even know he's reffing with me in 3 years from now.
I got a chance to catch up with Zach. We talk also at the end of the interview a little bit. He was one of the three offensive linemen that they caught punts with. That was one of the drills during the game to give their teams extra points, is they had the punters catching punters punting to offensive linemen, and if the offensive lineman caught it, then their team got a point. And Zach made an over-the-shoulder catch because Sam Fultz kicked it too far, and here comes the big 3'10 guy lumbering down Willie Mays style and hauls it in. But we'll talk about that and more here, Zach.
Well, the spring portion of football is over, although football is never over, is it, Zach? As you guys have the spring game done, but it's almost back to work. Well, is there a sense of relief? Do things let down at this time of the year, or what's it like when spring football, the spring game, finishes up?
Most of the physical technique and blocking and football stuff's over, but, I mean, the mental side, you got to pick it up in the summer and this last part of the spring. Just go meetings, the film work, and then just getting more athletic with weight training and speed training, and then just be able to come in next year, next fall, and compete.
For you personally, how did you think spring ball went?
I think I had a good spring, you know. There's still a lot to improve on, obviously, but I think I made some good steps forward.
Anything specific that you can think of? You know, I got better here and things I still got to work on?
Just techniques, getting the second step down. I still need to work on that, but I think I've gotten better. The pass set, I mean, it's feeling more natural. I still got a lot to work on.
Take me back, if you can, where you were 1 year ago at this time and to where you are now. Obviously, every year you expect to see a little more time, do some more things, learn some more things. But can you even put into perspective where you were a year ago and where you are right now?
Yeah, I think I've improved a lot. I mean, looking back last year, I was running mostly with the third group during practice, and now I'm running mostly with the second group. And so, I mean, that's an obvious change. And then just, you know, I'm a little bigger, still moving all right, but, I mean, I was probably 285 last spring, and now I'm about 315. And so, I mean, just the physical aspect, too.
That's one of the things we heard a lot of, how much bigger you are, and with your frame, you could still get bigger if you want to. How big do you want to be? How big do the coaches want you to be?
Right now I'm fine. If keep lifting and running, I'll probably put on some more weight. But, I mean, it's all related to your BMI and your body fat percentage. And so I'm still pretty low, and so I could probably put on some more weight.
Chat with Zach Stirrup. What are the coaches telling you? Where do they want you to be? What are the expectations for you?
Right now, I mean, it's I just want to go in and, you know, enjoy the spring game, obviously. But, I mean, it's constant work. I got to get ready for next year and get better myself, and then that will have results on the field.
What about the rest of the line? Do you like the way it's coming along? You guys, when you talk in your position meetings, how does everybody like where you're at right now?
I mean, we're a real tight-knit group in the O-line room, and so, I mean, we all want each other to get better and better, and so, I mean, we just keep pushing each other, and that just makes us a better unit as a whole. And so, I mean, if I can provide some stuff for the O-line, I mean, I'm willing to do it, so.
Have you followed any of the guys on the line? I mean, is there somebody that you're trying to get your work ethic like or your play like, whether they've graduated already or still on the team?
I take aspects from everybody's game, just looking at it and seeing how I can improve as a player. And then that's the biggest thing, is I have to improve. I can't look at the other guys in line. You know, I can't wait for them to falter, because they're not going to. They're just going to keep getting better. And so I just got to keep pushing harder.
Coach Pelini was asked in his press conference a little bit about what the goals were, and there were the hashtag number one, be ready for week one, and things like that. He didn't really go into it, and I don't expect you to either, but are there some really specific goals that have the guys fired up?
Yeah, I mean, I think we're still in the process of hammering them down. I think we're meeting with Coach Pelini next week, early next week, and finalizing them. But, we're looking at some different things, just how to make our team better. So.
Not everybody caught the punts either in the special drills. Where did that come from? Do you volunteer, or did they pick you to do that?
Well, they in the team meeting right before we went out, Coach Bo was asking and said, white O-line players, the white squad O-line players, raise your hands. And so I raised my hand, and I was picked. So, I mean, I went out there and did my best and made a catch.
Was that nerve-wracking or was it more fun?
It was fun, you know. I was kind of nervous going out there, but once he kicked it, I mean, I got to catch it. So, and then after celebration with the White Squad, so.
That was a pretty good catch. Did you talk to Fulte, say, what was that punt? Come on, man.
Oh, he apologized for the catch, but I mean, or for the punt, and so, but I didn't mind because it made me a celebrity for a day, so.
Well, Zach, have a great summer. We'll see you this fall. Thanks for the time.
All right, thank you.
That's Zach Stirrup, Nebraska offensive lineman out of Hastings St. Cecilia. Caught up with him after the spring game on Saturday. I'll tell you what, that was one of the more athletic plays of the whole day, that over-the-catch punt that he made in the basketball game. Let's take a look at our Midtown Mart Cooler question for the day. How much weight do you put on a Major League Baseball team's performance in the first week of the season? A lot, a little, or none? I said a little. A little.
Yeah, if you can get off to a nice start, it's kind of nice. I think Billy Butler would be having a hot bat now after having 7 RBIs yesterday. Hey, that game was amazing. He gets 7 RBIs and we got to hang on?
Well, there's a problem, Jimmy. There's obviously a problem. Again, this is where you see things. The Cubs have already placed Marmol. And now the Royals have to look because they gave away the game on Saturday night. They walked the bases loaded with nobody out and then end up getting the next two guys. But then a bases clearing double to lose 4-3 in the bottom of the ninth with two outs. Then yesterday, up 9-4, they bat around in the ninth, 9-8, tying run at third, winning run at second. They finally get the guy to pop out and the Royals hang on. But Kansas City is not a good enough team, obviously, to be giving away games that they've earned to win. I mean, back in the day, your Yankees, your Red Sox, your Giants, your powerful teams, they can afford to let one or two slip. They just don't happen very often. Especially early in the season, Kansas City can't get into a mold of giving games away. They gave away one. They almost gave away two. They should be on a 4-game winning streak for their home opener today. They hit the ball way better against Philadelphia, though.
Yeah, they didn't have score them very well the first games, did they? So, yeah, I don't know. I think sometimes when I'm a Royal fan, I wish they just played 8 innings instead of 9 innings. I don't know. Who said you had to play 9 innings? Who came up with this deal?
They play a lot of 8-inning games, too. I can never tell which inning they're going to take off. But our home opener today for the Royals on the Breeze, 94.5 FM, is at 3:10 against the Minnesota Twins. Pre-game is at 2:30. And again, our Midtown Mark Cooler question over the weekend. Close vote. Who did you think was college basketball's player of the year? The homer factor. 43% said Trey Burke of Michigan and right behind Doug McDermott of Creighton at 38%. The Midtown Mark Cooler question up on our website at ESPNSuperstation.com. We're back with more right after this.
Lose 30 pounds in only 3 weeks? Really? If you're frustrated with outrageous weight loss promises, Complete Nutrition is about to change that. Try Refirm, the first ever and only weight loss product on the market that actually shrinks fat cells.
This is Dr. Lisa Stout. I'm excited to tell you about the breakthrough weight loss product from Complete Nutrition called Refirm. Refirm does something you've never experienced. It actually shrinks fat cells, and that means losing weight and fitting into your clothes faster.
Refirm revs up energy and metabolism, but also shrinks fat cells. Hurry into your neighborhood Complete Nutrition store while supplies last. Please note, if you lose more than 10 pounds in 10 days, visit your Complete Nutrition store to adjust your plan.
Find Complete Nutrition in Grand Island just north of Gordman's off Highway 281 and in Kearney just north of Sun Mart on 2nd Avenue.
Hi, Tom Baudet. Most people have pretty ambitious bucket lists, like skiing every mountain in America, or seeing a game at every ballpark, or eating at all the famous barbecue joints. It can get expensive and messy. But Motel 6's great low rates mean you save more for what you travel for. So at least your stay will be a drop in the bucket. Get it? It's a bucket list. Good stuff. I'm Tom Baudet for Motel 6, and we'll leave the light on for you.
So, you know, Golic and I just finished the Listerine 21-Day Challenge towards a healthier mouth. They guaranteed you'll feel the difference in 21 days or your money back.
And it's true. This Listerine Total Care stuff really does a lot. Strengthens teeth, restores enamel, kills bad breath germs. There are like 6 benefits in one.
Yeah, your breath is better. I don't even have to hold my nose anymore.
That's weird. You don't sound any less nasal.
Oh, come on. This voice is pure gold.
Pipe down, Greeny. For more info on the Listerine 21-Day Challenge and the money back guarantee, please visit Facebook.com/Listerine. Listerine!
Dial Global Sports is your exclusive home for the NCAA tournament.
Davis with a rebound, hands it to Teague, dribbling it out, 5 seconds, 4 seconds, 2 seconds, 1 second, the ball thrown in the air, and the title has returned to its old Kentucky home.
Who will this year's champ be? Tune in here to find out.
The NCAA tournament on Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation. Doug Duda, Jim Langan with you on the Doug and Daddy Show. Jimmy, were you shocked about any of the winners at the Academy of Country Music Awards last night?
I like it when you put me on the spot. Hey, what conference is Creighton in next year? What are they in? What's their conference called?
They are the Big East.
Okay.
They are the Big East. The other teams are the Atlantic American or?
American Athletic.
American Athletic.
Yeah, okay, so they're in the Big East. And, you know, I'd had a chance of getting that right. I might have missed it and been embarrassing. But ask me those questions. What was it again?
I said, were you upset with any of the winners at the Academy of Country Music Awards last night?
Yeah, and I wouldn't be able to tell you if I was upset or not.
I love it. Here is where we are at in the Doug and Daddy Bracket Challenge, down to two possible winners. If Louisville wins the game tonight, the entry Gale John Jones will win the 50-inch HD TV. Primetime would be second. DSW 13 would be third. JCJ fourth. Happy Gilmore 24 would be in fifth. Tied for fifth. You take a look. If Michigan pulls the upset tonight, the TV will go to Yoakum 13 with Alex Bellinger second, Maya's dad third, Lee P four, and then Gale John Jones would be fifth. So a lot of points go into this championship game for tonight. So actually, though, you got to give credit to Gale. She has Louisville over Michigan in the championship game, and I don't know a lot of people that that made that pick. And Yoakum has Michigan over Louisville in the championship game. So not a lot of people obviously had Michigan in the championship game, and that's what makes the tournament, Jimmy. They probably shouldn't be. Kansas should have won that basketball game. I'll say that until forever.
Yeah, I know somebody that had Louisville and Kansas in the final.
Boy, I'll bet they're bummed. But to make you feel better, go get your vehicle serviced and save some money at the Midway Auto Dealerships, Midway Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram and Midway Chevrolet Buick Cadillac, South 2nd Avenue in Kearney, where right now you can be in and out for an oil change, take care of you in the Mopar Quick Lube, 30 minutes, can do it without an appointment. They have so many great maintenance, so many great certified mechanics there that they take care of you. Midway currently also has quite a few low-mileage certified pre-owned vehicles in stock, so if you're looking to make a trade, they'll take your trade. If you're looking for something different, whether it's pre-owned or new, they can take care of you. And they're giving away tickets to the final Storm game of the season on their Facebook page. So go to thinkmidway.com or stop by and see them at the Midway Chevrolet Buick Cadillac dealership or the Midway Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram dealership, South 2nd Avenue in Kearney. And the women's championship tomorrow. I guess I always kind of feel bad for the team like Notre Dame. So my women's bracket went down. I said Baylor wouldn't win. I had Notre Dame, and then that's not going to happen either. But UConn coach Gino Auriemma, 7-0 in the national championship game, taking on Louisville, whose head coach was an assistant at Nebraska back in the day. But Notre Dame shot 29% against their number one rival, who they'd beaten close games 3 times already this year. But, man. That always gets me. You play a team, because you'll see it especially on the high school level here or at the conference tournament. You know, say Indiana had beaten Michigan 3 times this year and they play for the national title and Michigan wins. Well, Indiana beat you 3 times, but Michigan got the one that counted.
How'd you like to be the AD at Louisville right now? You know,
you're a busy guy.
Well, I mean, you're going, hey, you got the women's team into the championship. I think their football team was it the Orange Bowl?
Yeah, impressive.
And had a big win there. You know, he's kind of looking around going, hey, you know, I think I'm going to go in and talk to somebody like the president right now and say, hey, You know, how much money we got in here? You know, because I'd like to have a little share of that. You know, what if he's got it in his contract, if he gets the trifecta here, if they all three win a national championship, what his bonus is?
One other thing I wanted to mention, I've had this asked on the show, I've had this asked off of the show about Carney Spencer Lindsay. Was he still on the team? Because when everybody was talking about the kickers, who would take over? We all know Spencer Lindsay did a great job at Carney High, taking over for Brett Maher, and his name never seems to be brought up. He did kick for the white team in Saturday's game. They even made him try a 47-yarder into that monstrous wind that didn't get there, but that's okay. He looked good in just about everything he did. So, yes, in answer to that question out there about Spencer. A couple of other notes. As we said, baseball team went 2-1 against Iowa this weekend. They're scheduled to play Creighton tomorrow, but this is one of those Tuesdays where it looks like UNK and Hastings and Nebraska are all supposed to play, and it's going to rain, so we'll see what happens there. Loper baseball went 3-1 over the weekend. UNK softball was swept. Hastings softball 3-1. Hastings baseball went 1-3. Storm went 0-2. They're at Lincoln Friday. They host Lincoln in the regular season and season finale on Saturday. The Danger win 53-50 over the Texas Revolution on a Saturday night, and so a big win for them there. And congratulations to the Kearney Bearcats soccer team. They win the GNAC Boys Championship over Columbus 4-1. North Platte wins the girls, handing Kearney their first loss of the year 4-2. Jimmy, did we miss anything?
Nope.
Your prediction tonight then?
Oh, I'm going to say, hey, you know, Louisville by 4.5.
Is that the spread?
I think so.
Amazingly, I have not looked that up yet today. Well, so who you got?
Well, you know I took Louisville at the very beginning. And so, you know, I'm going to have to take Michigan for a little bit. You know what I mean? Make sure I got enough to go to Big Dad's Deli or wherever you want to talk.
There you go. Yeah. There you go. Well, folks, we will see what happens tonight. The championship game is right here on ESPN. Coverage all day. Official pregame begins at 7. Tip-off is at 8:20. We want to thank Zach Stirrup of the Huskers and Hastings St. Cecilia, along with Sean Callahan of Husker Online, for joining us today. Tomorrow, we preview the Masters with Alex Myers of Golf Digest. We also look back at the men's championship game. And later on in the week, we're expected to be joined by Danny Woodhead, who's now a part of the San Diego Chargers. Jimmy, thanks for the time today. Have a great week.
You too, Doug.
We'll see you tomorrow. Doug and Daddy Show on ESPN Radio.
All sports, one source, two stations. KICS Hastings, KXPN Kearney. Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation.
You've been listening to a Doug and Daddy podcast brought to you by Cunningham's Journal. Cunningham's Journal, the only bar you need to know in Kearney.
Oh, darling, I feel like amazing.
Don't make me do that again.
Game.
Hey.